gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's noon. That's the noon bell.
That's the noon o'clock bell. Oh, my God. What is it, like a million o'clock?
Million o'clock. It's 15 to a million. So we need to wrap up.
Welcome to Pottering in the Garden with me, Tom Allen. And I'm absolutely delighted that my guest today is the international comedy sensation, Phil Wang. We've been friends for years, and I'm just so pleased he's joining me here in the garden to talk, well, the sort of end of summer season going into autumn. I mean, what to expect? It's certainly quite blowy. That's not a euphemism. Phil Wang, lovely to see you.
I'm Tom Allen. So good to be here. What a wonderful place.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome you here. Do you have a garden?
Do I have a garden? I do. Yeah. Okay. It's about half of the length of this, maybe.
Please, it's not about that.
It's what you do with it, of course. Of course.
It's the famous gardener expression.
Is your garden long? You're just happy to see me. I have a little garden. All the stuff in there was planted by the last people who were there. And I think it was mainly the husband, father figure who did it and was very talented at gardening. So I'm just trying to keep his legacy alive.
Oh, what a lovely thing.
But it's not working. Like the boxes are the planks have fallen off one of the boxes. And the mud is just sort of slowly cascading
down. Oh, that's easy repaired, surely. That's easy, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's easily repaired if you know what you're doing. I really don't know.
Are you in contact with them? Could you ask them?
Just come back around.
Just do all the things that you used to do in your house, but with me living here.
It's okay. My main battle at the moment is with the grass.
Oh,
it got completely overrun with weeds, and I had to have the whole thing re-turfed, which is so expensive. Putting down grass is so... And then now I'm just trying to keep the weeds away.
Blowy today, isn't it? Phil, I'm sorry, I brought you out here on a blowy day.
Well, your other guest. Today, the wind.
Yes. Trying to poke Will-o'-the-wisp.
Your grass is a nightmare because I'm now planting like bits of seed where there are bald patches.
That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
Is it?
And I think so, and I'm not very good on grass. I would actually get rid of it. I'd tarmac the whole thing, turn it into a car park. But people say
charge people to
stay there. But people say it's nice, so I like to have it. But I think with the drought as well over the summer, a lot of grass has suffered, but it comes back.
Right, yeah.
You should be careful with the...
One thing I did recently, which was probably a bit dumb, was there were... Do you ever get these little mounds of either ants or termites? I can't tell what they are. But it's little mounds of earth that are full of these little eggs, little white eggs. Do you ever get these?
Maybe ants, are they?
I guess so. And I heard if you just pour boiling water on it, they'll kill them. I was like, all right, I got this boiling water and kill them all. And then the next day, all the grass was dead as well.
You boiled it.
Because I boiled the grass. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I basically made grass soup. And so now I killed the ants, but now I've also got these horrible bald patches of dead grass.
Well, that's fine. It'll come back. I think it's quite resilient.
Not my garden. Really? Makes me really want to die. My grass, I've got suicidal grass.
Oh, how awful.
My grass is going through a lot right now, my grass, and it's not doing well.
Maybe you just need to talk to it more. Maybe you should love it a bit more. People say about...
Not scald it with hot water.
Maybe stop the boiling water treatment. Scarifying, I think, is a thing as well, isn't it?
Where you make the holes in the earth?
Aerate it, and then... Scarifying, I feel like when you get like a little bucket with a spiky bit at the bottom that turns over and it gets all the moss.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that might be something that's good to do.
Okay. I'm never going to do that. Okay. Already that sounds too hard work.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing as well. And it's quite boring when it's done because you end up with sort of bald grass,
turned-up earth. Yeah. Like a muddy, turned-up earth garden.
And then you have to wait for the grass to eventually grow. I guess it's satisfying when it comes through, but I don't know.
But who cares?
Who cares, right?
At that point, who cares?
Yeah.
Did you do all of this yourself?
No.
Okay.
When I moved in... Most of it was done, so the grass was here, the trampoline was here. The hydrangeas, which are really the big star of the show, they're coming to the end of their season, but they were planted before.
Which one is hydrangeas?
The white, well, they're sort of
these guys, yeah.
These guys, yeah, okay. the sort of big flower.
I call that canary.
Canary?
Would you call that colour canary in this light?
maybe. Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
Canary.
I don't know.
Someone's been looking at colour charts. Someone's redecorating.
It's mad, isn't it? Once you become responsible for your own immediate environment, i.e. a property, you just the learning curve is so steep, and you learn these terms
yeah.
that you never knew if you heard someone else say, you would have punched in the shoulder. Mm. And now I'm saying things like canary and eggshell.
And, yeah. And things like guttering become a feature, I found. Like with that, we had some rain overnight and I was suddenly like, oh, the guttering.
What's the guttering?
Okay.
Okay, I guess I'm not that
stressed you out more.
But, oh, no.
Another thing to worry about. Well, you know, the guttering at the top.
Oh, off the roof.
The water off the roof,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was a garden gutter that I need to get also.
You haven't got a garden gutter?
No.
or that maybe it was like another paint colour guttering.
Oh, no, I have gutters, thank goodness.
Yeah, I was going to say, otherwise... Well, I don't know what would happen if you didn't have gutters.
Yeah, what would happen? The roof's already slanted. The water's still going to go down.
Do you think maybe guttering is a big con? Do you think it's the guttering...
I guess it's to keep the water from just cascading down every segment of the roof onto whoever's below.
I guess
I finally understand what guttering's for. It's the kind of thing you take for granted.
I feel like there's a guttering lobby that's keeping us all invested in it.
Big gutter.
Yeah, big gutter.
We're all in the pocket of big gutter.
Otherwise, I guess it would just slide off...
The roof, yeah.
The roof. And then it maybe would collect around the edge of your house and that might be bad for foundations, maybe? I don't know.
I think it's more that it'll just you just have a curtain of water falling down the perimeter of your house whenever it rained.
Which might be, I think that would be lovely.
It's quite dramatic.
Fabulous,
like a music video.
Yeah, right. Imagine coming into that. Imagine leaving the house.
Like you're an umbrella.
Yes, exactly.
By Rihanna.
Yeah.
Almost called a Rhiannon. Very different pop star, Rihanna.
Very different. What are your thoughts on autumn?
I love autumn. Autumn's my favorite.
Is it, Phil?
I hate summer with
with
an ironically fiery passion. I hate summer.
Why?
It's too hot. I grew up in a very hot country. I was in Malaysia until I was 16.
Oh.
I got my hot out of my system.
Mm,
I got so much hot. I got hot every day, all the time. Horrible sun all the time.
Horrible sun?
And then when I came and I moved to the UK and people cheer the sun.
Wow.
Which is like a dictator I escaped. And it comes here once a year and everyone's like, yay, hooray, Gaddafi is back. And I'm like, this guy's horrible. What are you doing celebrating him?
That is very interesting. You know? You say that was the first dictator you went for, out of interest.
Gaddafi?
Gaddafi, yeah.
Yeah, he came first to come to mind.
Flamboyant dresser though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Flamboyant dresser, sticks in the mind.
He understood his colours. He had his colours though.
Yeah, okay. He wore a lot of canary, I think.
I thought it wasn't like kind of earthy, foresty stuff. Was that just army
kind
green?
Kind of quite blousy. Oh yeah, he did have some army. Because a lot of the dictators, I always think, they lean into the khaki and I think, come on.
Yeah, play around.
Yeah, you're a dictator. If anybody can can try different looks out, it's you.
That's it, yeah. For absolutely powerful despots, they do really go with the grain when it comes to dress.
Goes to show, choice is overwhelming.
That's it. Mm. Yeah, do you reckon dictators are like that sort of Obama thing where it's like, it's just one less decision to make.
Yeah, one less.
I already have to decide how many of my enemies to execute.
Destroy.
I don't need to pick what colour tie.
But what about this lovely shirt? I got you. They're like, no, what sort of trousers? You can wear any kind of trousers. Imagine having that much choice.
You can wear any trousers?
Yeah, imagine that.
And you can make everyone in the palace wear
whatever
trousers you want.
Oh, it would be exhausting, wouldn't it? I would find that pressure unbelievable.
This is what the Nazis got right, which is a sentence I try not to say too much. But they delegated Hugo Boss. You got it.
That's
you sort this out for us, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah.
I think a lot of theatre designers, is that true? Like theatre costumiers were involved in their uniforms as well. I think they kind of.
Oh, really?
Somebody told me that once. I don't know if it's true or not.
There was a flamboyance about.
There was a definite flamboyance about that goose stepping.
Yeah, I guess
they knew what they were doing.
It's quite camp, really, you think about the goal.
But that's always the way, isn't it? It's like camp really meets non-camp in like politics, in that sort of circular form, kind of where they both
like
connect.
A horseshoe theory of camp and not. Yes. No, you're absolutely right.
I think ultimate, what's the opposite of camp? Butchness?
What is it? Like a hard stoicism?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that becomes camp, doesn't it?
Quite
quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's quite spoofable.
Yeah, I guess Trump is an example, right? Because his movements have become so small that they actually become quite camp.
In a sort of Poirot way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, you know, he coils up and eventually, and he'll just go like that.
Oh, yes. I never thought of that. It's quite dancey, really.
That's it. Yeah, it's jazz hands. It's tiny jazz hands all the time.
Jagged sort of dance hands.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. I'd never thought of that, Phil.
I like this theory, the horseshoe theory of campness. It's a very good theory.
I mean, I'd never thought of it before, but I feel like there is a crossover there, isn't there? I'm trying to think of somebody else who might be like it. But yeah, lots of yeah, lots of that kind of military stuff is very camp. Wherever you go. Military is very camp.
It is.
Tunes, bands.
Uniforms.
Marching.
Yeah.
Marching in time. What could be camper? Fancy hats, brassy badges. Love it.
Yeah, little, what's it called? Epaulettes. Epaulettes.
The word is even camp.
Yeah, I don't even know what an epaulette is. I just know it's camp.
No, yeah, with little curtain tassels on them sometimes.
That's right.
They look like they should be on a tie back rather than
what's a tie back?
There you go.
Okay. I've reached the limit.
You reached the limit there. I knew there was a ceiling and I just smashed straight through knowledge. It. A tie back on, you don't really see them. I mean, curtains you don't really see, but on your window curtains, drapes, in the 80s and 90s, they would be tied back in the middle to hold them back in a sort of swooping.
Yes. Very theatrical. Very flamboyant.
Very flamboyant.
Yeah.
Right? Very flamboyant. Marvelous. Sorry, I digress because we started talking about dictators, which...
It always goes that way with you.
It always goes that way. I'm sorry. By the way, if you're enjoying our little garden chat, don't forget you can watch all episodes of Pottering on my YouTube channel, at Tom Allen. Or, if you prefer, just carry on listening on your podcast app whilst you potter about yourself. We'd love to keep you company.
Summer, I just find it literally too hot. This country's not built for it. There's no air conditioning in the UK. We have all these beautiful but thick stone walls. So things are very, very hot.
Yes.
And everyone just kind of freaks out for a month. Mm. Men are walking around topless.
Yes,
people are having barbecues in parks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure to have a good time, but hard to know how to have a good time.
Yeah, that's and true, actually.
Enjoy the dress. I think this year I started to dress well for summer by copying, what's the Irish guy's name?
Narrow it down.
Paul Mescal.
Oh, okay.
I finally got my little mezcal booty shorts.
Oh, he really went with that, didn't he, Paul? Yeah.
They work, you know.
Keep me cool?
Keep me cool. They look surprisingly okay.
I think they are, actually. They set off a man's leg better.
Absolutely. And I've got big longins.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're blessed.
Yeah.
Show it off.
So I didn't mind that aspect of it this year, but...
Mm. I know, I think...
Also, everyone's always on holiday. You try and get a hold of someone, you're like, out of office.
Mm. No one's working.
Get a grip.
In Malaysia, though, it's a different sort of heat. It's quite humid. No?
Very humid. You get off the plane dripping, and it's just boof. It just hits you right in the face. Yeah. It can be pretty overwhelming. We have two seasons in Malaysia, hot and wet and hot.
Oh. That's kind of it. Oh, even when it's wet, it's still hot.
Oh, yeah. A little less hot, maybe, but still pretty hot. It'll get there.
I want to say, is it Borneo? That's
where I grew up, yeah. So East Malaysia. But Malaysia split between the Peninsula of Malaysia, which is connected to Thailand and all that. And then on the east, the island to the east, Borneo, the northern half is Malaysia. And I'm from the northern bit of that.
Sorry. Listen to that wind.
Yeah, is that wind or like a jet? That's crazy. But there was wind through your trees.
Wind through my trees.
It's very atmospheric.
Thank you.
I was born in Stoke-on-Trent. My mum's from there, but my folks were in the country just temporarily at the time, and then so flew back. And 3 weeks after, I was in Malaysia, and I grew up there.
They were like, "This is too cold for him. He needs." Whoa! Honey, there you go. Making a butch again. Making a butch. For anybody listening, there was a big gust of wind there, and all the leaves.
Rattled,
yeah, they danced, didn't they?
Screamed
at us, yeah, in a very kind of hocus-pocusy way. I obviously lent into a reference to The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I want.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Well, I mean, it's sort of based on the guy in Airplane doing that spoof of The Wizard of Oz. Are you a fan of the film Airplane?
I love Airplane. I can't remember this one moment, though.
It's when they're in the tower, and I can't remember the actor's name, and I should look it up. That's bad of me. He, for me, is a standout character. He works in the control tower at the airport, and he's a very camp man, and his bosses say, "How about a coffee?" And he goes, "No thanks." And he also is the one who, when the wife of the ill pilot arrives, he's like, "Oh, you poor thing, this is terrible." And then he looks her up and down and goes, "Where did you get those shoes with that hat and that bag? Oh!" And then walks off in a disgusted way.
It's such a great movie.
Such a great movie. So many moments. But he does a thing where the phones are ringing and he's getting tied up in the phone cables. And he goes, it's Annie M, it's a twister, it's a twister. Just another layer.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They don't. Although I didn't see I haven't seen the
Nina Kit Gun. I want to see the Nina Kit Gun. I'm not seeing it yet. I loved all of them.
Same.
Yeah, fabulous.
Same.
Would you say those films were formative as a comedian? 100%.
I was snuck into, I think they were 12 and I was 10 at the time. So my mom snuck me in to see them.
Wow, underage.
I think, basically breaking the law. But I think the first two are good. I think the third one loses quite a lot.
Yeah, I can't even remember the third one.
Yeah.
But they're so funny, man. And Leslie Nielsen was just a genius. Oh, I think.
That deadpan.
Oh, amazing.
Did it inspire you?
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen especially, because I was like, wow, like, he looks like a serious old guy, but he's being really silly and funny. I loved it.
I feel like that American style of humor, or Americans seem to do that deadpan, like in 30 Rock as well.
Alec Baldwin's persona in 30 Rock. We can say his name.
We
can still say his name.
A lot of us, you know, bought the box set. So what are you going to do?
After he shot them.
Discount. It was expensive before. But the thing is, I would go with Tina Fey, I suppose. I would lean into the Tina Fey-ness.
Sure,
but that kind of, the world is bonkers, but everybody in it is playing it completely seriously. Like that kind of comedic construct.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of these rules of comedy is that if you're being funny, you need to pretend that you aren't being funny. Or that you don't know you're being funny. And so someone like Leslie Nielsen does that so well.
Yes.
One of the cruelest things about comedy is there's nothing less funny than appearing to be trying to be funny.
I always think that.
You know? Oh. If you're doing something funny, people go, ha, ha, ha. And then you go, people go, ugh.
No one wants that.
He's trying to be funny.
Why is that so repulsive to us? Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I think maybe people feel manipulated, tricked.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like, oh, he's manipulated my feelings.
Whereas if they're genuinely having a terrible time and we're laughing at them, then it's fine.
That's great. That's the ideal.
That's the dream.
It might be a British thing particularly as well. I don't know. But yeah, that's the cruel thing about comedy.
Oh, yeah. I found that. And it's a cruel thing as well that you've got to care about it, but then at the last minute, not care at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You need to care about it, but be above it at the same time.
Yeah. I found that quite early on when I was going to Edinburgh that I'd... butterfly.
What a blessing.
Butterflies are doing well. They've gone up.
Thank God. That's going to be my next question.
They're back.
Okay, great. Butterflies are back. Were they in trouble?
Last year they were in trouble. We all had to do a survey. I didn't do it either. But we were supposed to do a survey to count the butterflies.
In your garden?
Yeah. And then...
That's quite a nice activity.
Yeah, I know. Why did I not want to do
that? As far as things the government makes you do, that's one of the nicer ones. Fill out your tax return, but then count the butterflies in your garden.
Yeah, why wasn't that not part of the tax return? That would be a nice, last question.
Yeah, you get, three small black boxes for the number. They don't think it's going to be 1,000.
They don't. There's not gonna don't be worry 1,000. About decimal points. Don't worry about the decimal. Nothing in the decimal. Just whole numbers. Yeah, whole numbers of butterflies. If you find half a butterfly, it doesn't matter.
Don't tell us about it. It's upsetting.
Yeah, and they get very emotional. But they're doing well
What
now.
About bees? Are bees okay?
That was it. People were
bees are never okay.
Oh, the pollinators. And then there was the big bees that were coming. And I don't know, I feel like that's gone away a bit, that story. So I assume they're fine?
Are they, or has it just fallen out of the news cycle?
No, as I said, I've thought that. Do you worry about the news?
I try not to. I try and remind myself that we have never been exposed to this much instant information that it's probably more to do with that than that the world is worse. Because the world in general isn't worse than it has been. It's better.
That's right, isn't it? I think I've seen this.
But we just now know about the second anything bad happens.
Not to take us on a heavy track at all, but I sometimes find when people put up everything's gone to shit. The world's on fire. Who cares? And I'm like, well, nothing good is going to come of that.
No one's going to
be like, if you've got that attitude, how are you going to make a change?
Yeah, and that's when you become most politically vulnerable to manipulation is when you give up.
Is that right?
I feel.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Gosh, we're back at dictators again.
We are.
We can't
whenever,
help ourselves,
whenever you
can
and
we?
I get together, there's only one thing we ever want to
reminisce.
Is this a gardening podcast?
Loosely.
Okay.
As you can probably guess.
Right, okay. Are there any format points we need to hit with regards to gardens?
Well, that's really interesting that you ask. we decided that keep it loosey-goosey.
Okay, sure.
Well, I just thought there's a lot of podcasts out there. Oh, the gods don't like this idea.
The winds of Acast do not agree.
Oh, yeah. What I thought is, I like being in the garden. I thought, why don't I do this thing where I invite friends of mine to come and have a chat in the garden.
Lovely.
And then put it out as a podcast, a visualized podcast.
Oh, okay.
And a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the under the guise of like it being about gardening, but not. Because I'm a proud novice, and also I think...
You're a proud what?
Novice. I don't know very much.
Novice? Oh, novice. Oh, right, right, right.
What did you think I said?
I think it's like novist. I thought this was like a special word for gardener. Like
a novist.
Yeah.
Novist.
Novest. That's not me today.
I was going to say, you're wrapped up lovely
yes,
warm.
Vest. Mm. Yes, vest today.
Lovely warm. But not your arms. If you get cold arms, you're in trouble. I just thought it's a nice place to have a chat.
It is.
It brings people out of themselves a bit, you know.
Yeah, it does. It's very calming, despite the gales of wind.
It's like a trendy high street, so many gales. Am I right?
Really good. Really good.
Not bad. It took me a second, but when I got there, it was worth it. Maybe 2 minutes.
I really like that. So when you say you spend a lot of time out in the garden, what are you doing when you're spending time in the garden?
Well, I've realised...
You're doing this, but with no one else.
I just sit and talk, worrying, talking about things. There's a lot of tidying up, I've realised, in gardening.
Yes.
Which I don't mind.
You ever have a big gardening job suddenly sneak up on you? Because I'll go out in the garden and go, oh, that twig's a bit long. I'll just... And then, that one's a bit long. And then it's like you're 2 hours in and you've got so many twigs on.
And then what are you going to do with all the twigs? Yeah.
And you have to eat them.
Eat them.
I've not found any other thing to do with them. Not heard of...
There's nothing else to do. You have to do that.
Yeah, you have to eat them.
That's twiglets. That's why they exist. I've exactly found that like deadheading. I'm looking around me now, especially at the change of the seasons. Like I've got this. Like this would probably be better if I deadheaded it. And it doesn't take much to like...
And that means just pulling the dead heads off.
I think so. And sometimes with geraniums, my mum always says, deadhead those because it means the plant will put less energy into those stalks that are dead and will start channeling the energy. Energy sounds like I'm doing some sort of very witchcrafty sort of podcast. But, you know, we'll start...
Do you wish you could do that with a human body? Like you're trying to build up your arms... Oh. At the gym, so you just pull your legs off for a bit, so your body can
energy.
Focus on, so the energy focuses on your arms.
Why did you amputate both of your legs? I wanted big arms. Instagram loves big arms. But I think things like that, and then you can end up just doing loads of it. And then I think, like a lot of things in life, you have to be happy with being a bit dissatisfied.
That's very profound. You have to be happy with being a bit dissatisfied.
The sound quality, for example. I think you have to be relaxed about going, hey, it's not perfect, but that's okay. Because otherwise you can obsess and go, oh, it's not...
I know. I'm bad for obsessing about
me
things.
Me too.
And getting really anxious about pathetic, unimportant things.
Do you?
Just small details. If things aren't quite in the right place or... Like when I first moved into my place, if there was a small scratch on any wood, it would keep me up for days. I'd be like, why did I do that? Why did I... You know, one thing I did, my sofa is there, and I'm so good with all my furniture. I bought these like felt pads, and I put them
underneath
the feet of all of them, and so it meant I was free to just move furniture around on the wood floor, right?
Like a lovely ice
stretching. Exactly, yeah. It's like curling. I just
yeah.
One day I was like, oh, I just need to move the sofa back, and I went and I went, what was that? And I looked down, and a little tiny pebble from a plant pot had fallen under the feet, under the cushion, beautifully by the felt pad, and just dragged across. So I just have this deep gut.
But then everything can be repaired.
Gouge. But then that's another thing you have to do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in this life I hate more than a thing to do.
Again, very profound. But I think we get tricked by social media. Because that was the other thing. I do think in this broken world that actually if more people gardened...
Nature agrees. Yes.
I take it as a sign.
Yes. Keep going,
Tom. If more people just chilled out and spent some time in the garden, the world would be a better place.
Sure. It is very calming. Just looking at this much green is good for you.
Apparently so. It's very soothing. It's very relaxing. It's a good colour for a bedroom.
Also, doing things with your hands. I read something recently like, just doing things with your hands is really good for your brain.
Oh.
So just moving things, picking things up, cutting things, grabbing things is really, really good for your brain. And we don't use our hands as much as we were built to.
Yes.
So not even when I write now, I write with a pen on paper first.
Nice.
Because you just think better.
I agree. There's something lovely about that. And I often write in a spider diagram or just sort of like notes quite sort of, I like to do it quite visually. But for sure. And I think I read somewhere as well about relaxing, that, because we're also busy, because we have our screens on all the time, we check our emails, fall asleep with our phone dropping onto our face.
in your mouth.
as you're trying to sleep while we're responding to emails or reading something. We're also flustered all the time, that when we get downtime, we go, oh, well, I'll just relax, I'll just sleep. And actually, that's not a very good way, because your brain is then going in this kind of very, like, dramatic change.
Yeah, it's in social media mode.
Yeah.
It's gone from interacting with 1,000 people.
Yeah, the entire, all the information in the world.
To suddenly you alone in a bedroom.
Nothing. So I think that's possibly another reason why, well, I know I often run to, like, catastrophizing and...
Yes, because you're in the headspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, if you do something that's using a different part of your brain, but in a soothing way. I think that's why colouring in became a thing.
Yes, yeah. I never did that.
No, me neither.
But it sounded nice. But gardening is that same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. And like I say, learning to live with the imperfection, I think is a good mindful state to be like, hey, it's not perfect, but you don't want it to look too manicured because then it looks a bit plastic.
There's a book I really like called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
One of my favourite books. Yeah.
It's one of your faves?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I haven't read it for a few years.
Well, in that he talks about, you know, his motorbike and it's the dings in the motorbike that make it your motorbike.
Gosh, I should revisit it because actually it stayed with me for a long time.
It stayed with me a lot, but I understood 70% maybe.
Yes, I read it as like when I was about 19 or 20 and it meant that I didn't want to go to university.
Oh, right.
Because I felt that I had this sense of like, well, you don't want to be appealing to your teacher because that's the thing, isn't it? He's got this assignment.
Isn't the dad a professor?
Oh, the dad's a professor.
Yeah.
And he's about the... is there something about...
Quality.
Quality, yes.
The whole thing is about this idea he's been working of quality. The underlying sort of goodness that transcends art and science and everything. And he comes up with this idea of quality that...
Yes.
There's an inherent quality, called quality, in good things. I think I remember it all now.
But
it's a really nice thought.
Yes, and the sun's on the back and they're going along. Is it the California coast?
Yeah.
Somewhere in America. Oh. Generic America. And I remember that making me go, oh, well, one should pursue this idea of this broad idea of quality.
Yes.
And not be...
Yes.
Subscribing to a university syllabus. How arrogant of me.
Well, I mean, if that's how I interpreted it, I read it after university, so I was like, fuck, too late.
Too late, I've done it now. And you did engineering, I know.
Engineering, that's right. Mm? You didn't go to uni?
No.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know
how
that.
How arrogant, yeah. But that's I've got all enough. The airs and graces of somebody who might have done.
That's all that matters.
And I think, really, in this life, that's all that does matter is that how people perceive you. So I carry myself with the lofty air of somebody.
So your main life lessons are make peace with imperfections and all that matters is how people see you.
Some would say it's a contradiction, but I don't. We went to a stately home in Sevenoaks called Noel House.
Wow, okay.
And it's where some of the Bloomsbury Group lived.
Oh, cool.
And they were very cool.
You can't do that anymore.
No.
Just like you and some pals just living in a country mansion to see if you have ideas.
It is so difficult these days to do that.
I mean, this is the closest you get recording a podcast in someone's garden.
In someone's garden.
This is the Bloomsbury set for the 21st century.
Sure. Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean...
Because we're coming up with good stuff here.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should be writing it down, actually, now you say that. There you go. I should believe in myself more. this is a wellness podcast as well. I feel like all podcasts are wellness. Do you know what I mean? Like when people say like a self-help book.
Some are definitely unwellness. Some make you more mentally ill, I think. I don't know if you're getting the clips I'm getting. Some are making me more mentally ill.
I've come along too late to the whole world of podcasting. But they're either like political or their wellness. There's no...
Right, yes.
So I thought I'd
or murder.
Some... Oh, yeah, a bit of murder, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, escapist murder.
Yeah. Would that come under wellness?
Oh, that's a good question. Not for the murdered.
No.
But yeah, I guess for the serial killers. Ka-ching.
Yeah, it's really good time to
boom.
Be a serial
boom
killer.
Boom time for serial killers.
But they don't
killers.
See any of the money, though. For me, yeah. That is the most unfair aspect of the true crime industry, is that the murderers see none of that money. And there wouldn't be anything to talk about if they hadn't murdered those people.
They're content providers. Why aren't they given the credit?
Their work is being, their labor.
It's being exploited. The system. Late stage capitalism, am I right?
They need to unionize.
Fucked, man.
They need to unionize.
They should unionize.
Murderers need to unionize. But I feel like, this is ridiculous.
But I feel like they get a lot of notoriety and status.
Exposure.
And exposure, which in a way, isn't that what all of us are pursuing? They're just behind the walls of a prison, but within the prison, oh, I imagine they're lauded every day. Did you listen to Serial?
I did. The OG.
The OG.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, this is interesting. Wow, what an interesting perspective and story. And then she started to be like, sometimes I think Dana's not listening to me. You know, she had this assistant who was like the skivvy who went around with her, who had to do like all the actual work.
Oh, right. And that became the sort of drama of the series.
Well, I was like, are we dealing with a wrongly convicted person?
Oh, yeah.
Or are we dealing with your just like little bickering in the back of a car? And then, spoiler alert, got to the end. Do you remember the end?
The end was just like, well, we don't know, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm just a little journalist. And I thought, what have I been doing with all my journeys then? Everybody's buzzing about it, talking about it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But it just goes to show we like the journey, not the destination.
Well, there you go, the imperfection. Yeah. That's what I think, yeah. That's so true.
Isn't it? We like wondering, oh, did he? Ah. We don't actually care about the answer.
You don't want to? Yeah, imagine, because she knows the end. So she could just go on the first episode.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Before anyone gets angry at me, I don't know, okay? Yeah, that's how I should have started.
Yeah, but I'm going to go on a nice trip. I'll say it. I think we've covered everything. I mean that quite literally.
It's been a wide-ranging chat, for sure.
The only format point I do have is the bell.
The bell, yeah.
And where...
That's a hard bell. We have to go. That's a hard
that's
bell.
That's out. gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's noon. That's the noon bell.
That's the noon o'clock bell. Oh my God, what is it, like a million o'clock?
Million o'clock. It's 15 to a million, so we need to wrap up.
It's 4,000 o'clock, okay? So, get on with this. The only format point I've got, Phil, is that I take people into the garden and kill them. For my serial killer podcast that I'm doing. And,
one final walk, Phil.
You go ahead. You go first. I have a thing where we go and do something in the garden.
Oh, okay.
Little tug. Nothing strenuous.
A little tug?
Little
tug. You definitely said, just a little tug.
Little tug, right? I mentioned that's what this is. Did no one explain? sorry if that wasn't talked about. a little task.
Okay.
Shall I lead the way? Then you can shoot me in the head. If you want. It's like the little vegetable patch, really. And we've tried to plant various things here.
This is all edible. This is edible.
No, that's not edible. Okay. No, I sometimes make that mistake, though, thinking things are edible. And I don't quite know what they are. But this is like that's sage, that's edible. These, I think, are going to be Brussels sprouts or cabbages.
They look sprouty.
They could be sprouty, couldn't they?
I mean, that's maybe a massive sprout, though.
Maybe it's just a huge
sprout. That's one huge sprout.
And you can see where the caterpillars love to come and have a little munch. Mm. But they're all going on there. And then I've planted some runner beans, but it's sort of getting to the end of the season. And so I thought what's lovely about being in the garden is that when things kind of get a bit woody, they still grow.
Oh, look at that.
Runner beans. Oh, yeah. That's a big one, but it's gone a bit woody. And so now's the time of year that I like to sort of dry them out and split them and keep the seeds inside, and then I can sow them next year.
Oh, wow. So it's a lot of forethought,
well,
gardening.
What I've
You're basically Jeremy Clarkson out here.
I don't like to say it, but yes. And I'm a similar sort of... Oh,
okay.
That's
fine. Yeah, so perfect. Then, so the seed is there.
And then the seed are these beans
look at
inside.
The edamame.
But yeah.
This is not edible.
Well, it could be if I cooked it.
This is a raw.
But...
life.
When they sort of dry out, then you've got a seed that keeps over the winter. We sowed these from last year in the spring, thinking maybe nothing will come of them. We planted too many, and then they've gone absolutely
amazing.
Bonkers.
Are those little chilies?
Which ones?
Those little red things over there.
No, that is the flower. They've got a nice flower runner beans. I don't like to say it, but runner beans are a bit boring after a while.
To eat?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not my favourite veg. But that's the flower's beautiful.
So this one is a good example. So that's kind of gone dry, and you might think that's gone.
Wizened old crone of a bean.
Right.
Horrible.
Then.
Which bean?
Which bean? You split it along the back, and then look, Phil.
What the?
Look.
Haribo? Oh, it's all the fried eggs.
All the fried eggs.
That's beautiful. Look, this is classy bean. This is like a Japanese ceramic.
Yeah, they are like ceramics, aren't they?
That's beautiful. Look at that.
Look at that nature just holding it there for you. Just holding it there, ready.
Gosh, that's beautiful, actually.
I wanted to give those to you.
Really?
And then if you want, I won't ever test you, but if you want, you could plant those.
I can't believe Tom Allen's given me 6 magic beans. I want to plant them on my garden and a massive bean stalk is going to grow.
Don't thank me. Well, you will thank me when you come back as a bean billionaire. Yeah, how did he make his money in the end? Phil Wang. Beans.
He climbed up a massive beanstalk and...
Turned out there was a goose, a little golden egg. It's perfect, you see?
These are lovely. Enjoy. I want to keep these.
Enjoy. What a lovely chat with my old friend, Phil Wang. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I had a right old laugh. And he's such a great guy, so witty. And I really recommend checking out his Netflix special. He's got 2 on there, but the newest one is Wang in There, Baby. So funny. It's recorded at the Globe Theatre in this very intimate, cozy little space. It's really magical and so funny. He's such a brilliant person. So I hope you enjoyed our chat. And if you want to, then tell people about it or subscribe or do that thing underneath where you put a comment. Could you do that? Good. But yes, I just feel like I should get the rest of these runner beans in before the season's over. So, oh, there's another one.